Control what you can control. Always be something you can't, right? Something unexpected always happens, either positive or not so positive. If we have systems in place that enable us to make the back ends run as smoothly as possible, that enables our playmakers to be as flexible in a moment as possible, that really helps us drive that great experience across.
Welcome to the Ecom Logistics Podcast, your go-to for e-commerce logistics insights, trends, successes, and lessons from the leaders and innovators in our space.
Welcome, friends. Today's guest is a powerhouse. She brings a rare blend of operational mastery, hospitality precision, and leadership tied all together. I am so inspired by her background. Erin Chamberlain, she is the COO of Topgolf, and she leads the global venue ops, supply chain, player experience, and culinary strategies. Before Topgolf, she ran large-scale casino and hospitality ops at Caesars and Penn Entertainment. I would say this is one of those roles where thousands of employees and millions of guests are constantly coming across and having these beautiful experiences that are difficult to express, just feels like it's magic, but truly takes quite a bit of work in the back end, especially if you think about the supply chains involved in making that happen and the logistics of all of it. She's the mastermind that brings it all together. Erin, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
One of the things that we talked about is that breadth of experience. I think it gives you a different lens. I'd love for you to maybe share with us your journey so far and the work that you're doing at Topgolf.
So I started in the casino industry right out of graduate school. So undergraduate, I went to go work in a consulting firm in the benefits world and went back to business school. And when I was at business school, I really wanted to try out something different, having done the consulting world a little bit. And I wanted to be more involved in something day to day. And so I looked for programs that would allow me to do that. And so the company, Caesars Entertainment, was actually then Harrah's Entertainment, would recruit folks who didn't have casino experience or even hospitality experience, but who wanted to learn that business through this special program. And I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to do that. And so I did an internship and I really fell in love with this opportunity to deliver great experiences like you were talking about and bring together people and really live in that moment. But also because that business is so complex, there is a lot of data, a lot of analytics, a lot of logistics that go into delivering those experiences. I worked in the business for a long time. And so I worked in Caesars in many different jurisdictions and lots of different roles, and then had the opportunity to then move to Penn Entertainment in more of a taking some of that knowledge and moving that into a broader role where I had broader scope. I was a little bit more back of house and helping oversee a variety of different locations. So that gave me another perspective, less ground up and a little bit more broad, which I was really looking for at that point in my career. Having that basis of starting in the business and learning so much from the ground up really helped me as I moved into the next part of my career, which was then helping other people do that at scale a little bit more broadly.
I love that experiences like this and have roles where you have such high stakes, operational kind of exposure. You're basically dealing with the front line, all of the little challenges and big challenges that come with it. You're not only responsible for making sure that you deliver that consistently high customer experience, but you have all of these things happening in the background that you also have to make sure are managed to enable that. Appreciated that when I had kids of my own. I was joking around with my husband about, you know, the kid is napping or the baby's napping and now you kind of cut their nails and you do all of these things that they just won't let you do when they're awake. And for them, it's like flawless experience. But the amount of work that goes into making that happen and to deliver that, I mean, it just gives me a whole new level of appreciation for it. And I think what really resonated with me from our last call, Erin, is you talked about this framework that you use, which is you have all of these lenses and perspectives that you've gathered throughout your career. And you try to simplify all of these complex challenges by working backwards from the customer. So thinking about that journey and simplifying it, can you maybe walk us through what does that look like and how do you rally your team around this framework so you can actually see what that customer journey looks like?
Yeah, I think it's really important in these types of businesses. And quite frankly, in the hospitality world, is really thinking about, especially kind of the further you get away from the customer in your day-to-day interactions, is really helping to ground yourself in that. Because ultimately, what customers are purchasing from us in hospitality is not a product, right? They don't necessarily walk home with something. They're purchasing from us an experience. I think it's important for us to start with, what is that player experience that we're really looking for? What are we hoping for them to feel? What are we hoping for them to really leave with in their mind as a memory? And then we work backwards from there. Can we offer this with it? Can we offer that? And so, like, those are the things that as we move through the process, okay, now that's how we're going to do it. Now, what does the team need to be able to deliver to make that happen? So what does the tech team need to deliver? What does the supply chain team need to make sure that we have staffed and inventory? And so you kind of just peel that back at each step until you get to kind of the most simple form of what you need to accomplish. And it keeps us reminded on why we're doing something to help us keep it as simple and as tight to what the consumer is really looking for as possible. So it's just been a nice way for us to stay grounded in why we're doing something, which I think is really important for teams.
Absolutely. I think we all get so tunnel visioned in what it is that we're doing. Doing exercises like this, I think, is a really great reminder for us to kind of zoom out and truly see the full picture, especially from customer perspective. I love that you grounded not just in outcomes, but also in that customer empathy and what would be meaningful to them. Like, what does play actually mean to them? And what does fun actually mean to this specific customer? And how do we make sure we deliver on that? In your role specifically, you have so many different teams that are coming together to deliver that experience. So sometimes it gives you a chance to kind of take a step back and question your own assumptions or even things that are running really well. Like we spoke about the donut injection example, for instance. Maybe you can tell the audience a little bit about that, because that's such a good example of something that has been working really well. You might still be able to rethink that and deliver something that is meaningful to your end customer if you truly peel the layers of that onion back.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that it's really important. Consumer preferences and needs are always evolving too. So you always have to be asking that question. Even if we've answered that question for the birthday party, for example, it doesn't mean it will hold true forever, right? So we always have to be rethinking those things. And I also think that it's really important to think about this in an integrated fashion. The tariffs news that has come through this year has been really impactful, obviously, basically all businesses. And in our business, some of the things that came through, we started to see potential tariffs coming through. And one of the highest use items that was on our list that would have been impacted in a highest amount is a donut hole injector. This sounds crazy, but at Topgolf, one of our best items and favorite items for our players is we serve donut holes, but we serve them with a little twist, and you can inject Bavarian cream or a different flavor chocolate into the donut through this injector. It's really popular and people love it. My kids, it's their favorite thing on the menu at Topgolf. But the injectors that we utilize were really impacted by the tariff proposals that came through earlier this year. And so the team went about saying, we know this is really important. Our players love this, but let's think about it from a new perspective, because we want to make sure that it gives us the opportunity. We have to protect the bottom line. We also want to protect the player experience. How do we balance that out? And so it gave us a chance to rethink the donut hole and the donut hole injectors. But this caused us to think about that in a different way. So we started unpacking, okay, what's really difficult to use about the donut? What is it that the consumer really likes? Is it the injection? Or is that there's different flavors and that there's an added level of fun? The team was able to work together. And I want to call out, this is a really super cross-functional team. So this is our food and beverage team. This is our operations team who brings us life in the venues. This is our supply chain team who's purchasing all of these things. All of us working together to say, okay, well, what's the new thing that we can do? Instead of just thinking, oh, customers need to have a donut hole injector, what they're really getting is an interesting dessert that's really fun to eat, fun to play with, fun to make, and gives them choice and variety. Let's solve for that rather than solving for the donut hole injector. I think it's just a really good example of helping to reframe what's really important based on what the consumer really enjoys about the product. It's not necessarily the exact donut hole injector that we're using, but it's that concept that we're delivering a fun dessert in a new way. So the team was able to go back and think through, okay, what are some of the other options that we have? And so we've come up with a new product and a new way of delivering that we'll be unveiling later this fall to talk through, how do we deliver donut holes in a more fun way at Topgolf that's evolved And again, it was something that the team worked on together, but it was based off of necessity and it gave us an opportunity to think about something a bit differently.
I absolutely love that. Erin, as someone who's been a player at Topgolf multiple times, I've actually had events that I've hosted there at different locations. You have about 90 plus venues at this point. One of the things that I always find impressive is the ability to provide that consistency of experience across all these different locations. That requires a systems level playbook and a consistent delivery, as well as reinforcing how we make sure that we learn from our mistakes or have like feedback loop so that you don't have the same things repeated. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about how to design that and how to make sure that you consistently deliver that with so many different teams touching the whole aspect of it to deliver that experience?
Yeah, honestly, that is probably one of the most challenging aspects of this job. And Topgolf will be opening our 97th US-based venue. So, and then we have franchise partners across the globe. And then we have four international venues that we own and operate as well. So it is not easy as you look across that broad group to say, how do we deliver something that feels like it's Topgolf every time you visit, but also feels consistent, but it also feels local and authentic? And so we were able to systemize and plan out from the team and say, these are the few things that are non-negotiable. This is the things that we expect you to be able to deliver on. But we also want you to bring the fun and the energy in your own way locally. And so we'll go out and we'll audit against that. So when the regional leadership teams will go into venue, they will say, okay, we have a very systematic way to audit against. Are we delivering the things that we said were non-negotiable? And then we have another way to capture in a very Topgolf way, how the teams are delivering fun. And then we can share those best practices back. So I think this is a really interesting combination of being able to make some things that are across a brand standard, but then to give leeway and to celebrate those opportunities. The teams are very thoughtful and planful on how they go in and audit that against all the venues. And the venues, you know, the expectation is set. And so they know nothing is ever a surprise. And folks will come through and log in their information so we can make sure that we are delivering on the things that we think are really important. And then we also have a more fun Topgolf way to capture that way we're bringing local to life. So we have a very active playmaker page that we have almost like think of it as a social media for our playmakers internally, where the venues will post what they're doing and how they're sharing their Sunday fun day interactions, and the teams will get in and post. And so we have kind of that balance again of like there are some systems and processes in place, but we also leave room for the energy and the sharing of the more fun and interesting things, because it's equally important to us to help deliver those experiences.
I think it also allows for just grassroots innovation to happen when you give that opportunity for the playmakers and executives, everybody to have this shared channel where you're talking about, hey, this is what our goal is, and here's my take on how I'm delivering. I come from many years of being in the innovation space. Innovation across an organization is a really difficult thing to bring about. And this is such a great example of making sure that you are embedding it in your processes and in just the way people work and people interact with the organization as well as each other. I'm sure you bubble up and surface maybe some opportunities or maybe some new ideas and innovations that come up and people can learn from each other.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's one of our really core important values here at Topgolf is to make sure, again, we're rooted in the player experience and that there's no better place to hear that from than our playmakers who are interacting with our players every single day. And in fact, one of the channels is basically open ideas, and the playmakers, any level playmaker will get on and share like, why do we do this? Have we thought about that? And so we're getting great information directly from our playmakers in real time. It's really important for us culturally to understand and hear those innovations as they come from, because again, those are the folks who are really hearing from our players first and foremost. And so we have a lot of great examples of things that have been innovated from those channels across the organization. And it's incredibly important for us to keep that two-way feedback going. A recent venue visit to our Naperville and Schaumburg locations, where they were walking us through some of the impacts that we have from the ways that we ordered retail. The end result was our inventories weren't easy to reconcile. And so we had to back up and understand where did that come from. And so we were able to really put in motion some changes on the logistics side of the business that will have a direct impact on making our playmakers' lives easier on the inventory.
Absolutely. The fact that you're not just discovering gaps, you're also discovering ways that you can double down on certain strategies that are already working well, but you can do a much better job. And just the diversity of thought and the diversity of ideas that you're opening yourself up to, because everybody has their walks of life and the way they approach work, and everybody has their different roles as well. So it gives them so many different lenses to kind of provide their input. And organizations where folks are able to actually provide that input, they feel like they're able to buy in to the mission of the organization, which is delivering that playful experience. As a customer or as a player, I know I've had multiple great experiences across different locations, as I mentioned. And I think that's only possible because of all of these cultural aspects that are a little bit harder to see unless you really peek behind the curtain to see how it's being done.
Yes, for sure. And I think that's like the secret sauce of Topgolf. We are able to combine being very thoughtful and intentional and programmatic in so many ways, but still leaving room for that innovation and that playfulness. In operations, we always say, control what you can control, always be something you can't, right? Something always happens, either positive or not so positive. If we have systems in place that enable us to make the back ends run as smoothly as possible, that enables our playmakers to be as flexible in a moment as possible, that really helps us drive that great experience across. So controlling what we can, so we can then deliver either more local experience or adapt to a situation, is really important.
That absolutely makes sense. As I maybe take a step back and think about all of the different pieces that you juggle with on a day-to-day basis, owning the supply chain services, all of the frontline work that happens, there's quite a bit of almost like puzzle pieces that you have to put together to make sure everything is functioning well. But that becomes even more difficult or complicated as you layer on the volatility of the market, all of the disruptions that we've had recently. We spoke a little bit about tariffs. How have you gone through the last few years with COVID and then the whole post-COVID era to where we are now? And how have you managed to kind of rethink what you should be doing, what you should be delivering through these disruptions? And how have you kind of continued to drive that success?
It's true. I mean, honestly, if you look back, you think about what's been happening, especially in the past 5 years, is like kind of COVID, coming out of COVID, a big boom, and then kind of a normalization on travel and hospitality and tariffs. There's just been a lot of uncertainty in the macro environment. And I think staying close to what's most important at that day and time in terms of your playmakers and your teams and also to your consumers has really been the grounding force. But I think having systems in place, but being willing to rethink some of those systems, question those ideas, and being flexible. I think one of the things that coming out of COVID taught me personally in the hospitality space was the flexibility to question things that I'd kind of thought about as being sacred for a long time. At that time, I was in the casino business. This is what players want from the casino business. It changed a lot of things that people wanted and the things that people valued. Pre-COVID, think about how many buffets were open in casinos. Post-COVID, people are like, that doesn't seem as appealing to me anymore. Whereas that might have been a non-negotiable in a pre-COVID world that a casino is expected to have a buffet product. Post-COVID, people were like, I'm not really sure that's how I want to eat anymore. And outdoor dining and all those things and different types of events become much more important. So it was just a really good opportunity for us to think about it never not changing. And so being open to rethinking those processes, I think that was a muscle I really built really well after COVID. I think that was a silver lining, right? As we've been moving through, is like to reinforce to us that being open to new things, being open to new processes, what maybe worked before may not work in the future, that served us well as tariffs come through. As macro uncertainty comes through, you can apply that learning so many different ways. Deep subject matter expertise is important, but so is always a willingness to learn and adapt and flexibility. I think that's become more important as I look for career development for myself and for others as well.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I think the acceptance of the disruptions are probably going to continue. We just don't know, but the mindset shift to I'm going to be agile, I'm going to be flexible and just roll with it. Because, I mean, 97 venues right now, but you guys also open about 10 or so a year. So the complexity is going to continue to grow for an organization that's growing at such a rapid scale, but managing to also bring that high level of experience and quality for the players that visit all of these different facilities. Erin, the other thing that I really admire about your background is that you continue to build these inclusive teams and you focus on rallying groups together that you want to see having more representation, for instance, or having voices or seats at the table. I know at your previous organization, you had Penn Women as work that you focused on, and there was a lot of impact that you drove through that. I'd love to dig into that a little bit. How do you think about enabling those things that have to happen for multiple individuals, for them to be not just encouraged, but have the pathway to actually succeed and grow their skill sets and their careers? And how do you continue to build these inclusive teams?
Yeah, I think this is something I'm incredibly passionate about. I've benefited from folks who have come before me, who have done the same thing for me. I would start with the beginning. I think it's just most important to know that diverse teams, it's not just gender, ethnicity, it's ways of thought, it's socioeconomic background, it's all, there's so many different ways that you can value that. We don't have representation for a lot of our customer thought processes. There's a lot of opportunity we're going to be missing, just really not tapping into opportunities for us to grow revenue. And think for lots of people, being able to see somebody who looks like them or came from a place like they did in a position gives them a different viewpoint. Just a ton of credit to the leadership team at Penn Entertainment. My former bosses, CEO Jay Snowden and CEO Todd George in particular. Just want to say thank you to them because they identified as an opportunity for us to build an organization at that place called Penn Women, where we said, this is not just about providing networking or visibility for women, but it was really providing skills for folks. So we could see how we could help people get from point A to further up the career ladder in their journey. Getting them to feel comfortable about reading a P&L. Getting them comfortable presenting to large groups. So it was identifying what are the skills that they felt they needed to get further in their career journey. And then providing actual workshops, actual work and online courses and lots of different ways to serve lots of different constituencies. The real key point here was you provided some representation, you provided some goals, but then we put in place really concrete things that folks could do to level up their skill sets to make them feel more confident as they were considering putting in for a promotion, to make them feel more prepared to raise their hand for a project, to make them feel really substantively more confident in moving forward in their careers. And the team here at Topgolf, we have Women's Impact Network or WIN, and we're approaching that same thing now too, is understanding how we can take that and build some skills in for our playmakers to help them see a brighter career path for themselves. I think it's really important that we have representation, but I think it's really important that we help people really along that path in a very concrete fashion.
Absolutely. There's a study that actually outlines how women are reluctant to apply for jobs where they don't feel like they match most of the skills. They won't even apply. Whereas for men, if they feel like they can figure it out or know most of it, they would gladly apply. Their mindset is, if I go and join a job that I already know everything about, then what's the point? I should go to this job so I can master it and I have the skill set to be able to do it. So making that shift for a lot of women actually requires not just the confidence, but the hard skills. So I love the approach of actually making sure that there's an intentional way of delivering those hard skills and measuring that impact and making sure that women are feeling comfortable to take that next step. In reality, Erin, you are also a minority because only 15% of COOs in ops-heavy industries are women. So there's a long way for us to go here. So all of these efforts, I think, go a really long way in enabling that. I'm a part of an organization that myself and a couple of other women founded, talking about, hey, what should we do to make this impactful? Because we feel isolated in certain places that we might be at the table, but we are one of 25 other people that are at the table, especially if you're in boardrooms, et cetera. We've taken a similar approach where we go through some workshop style meetings every single month and try to grow together. And maybe it's just that 1% growth that's happening and it's not a massive thing, but at the end of the year or at the end of 2 years, you've ended up gaining so many different skill sets and you feel so much more comfortable and confident, and also have that network that you can rely on. Because I think we're just social creatures at the end of the day, and we need that reinforcement internally as well to help lift us up. So I love everything about that initiative, as well as what you did at Penn Entertainment.
And I love what you just said too. So I will say one of the most impactful things that's helped for my career is probably a group like you just described. We call it our lean-in circle from the Cheryl book from way back when that first came out. A very influential woman who is very near and dear to me named Eileen Moore Johnson went to Caesars Entertainment, and she did something that I tried to mirror at Penn. We have a small group of women. There are six of us who are incredibly close and have been together for about 15 years. We find ourselves in those similar situations. And the way that it's described in the book is a personal board of directors, right? I've found for me, and I would highly encourage other folks to do that, no matter who you are, finding folks who are in that similar experience as you are has been extremely impactful for me. Our group always talks about it. We're not here just to describe what's happening, but we're here to help you get better.
Exactly. It's meant to be, let's support each other. Yes. Don't think that you're alone in this. There are lots of us who are not sure if we belong here and if there's a path for us to grow. But I think if we join forces, maybe we can figure out how do we grow and what are those things that we should be thinking about? Because genuinely, we should be thinking about how do we make ourselves better and drive an impact in the positions that we're in. Supply chain definitely is one of those spaces where lots more representation is being seen now across the board. Hopefully, all of these little movements and our joint efforts will continue to drive that forward.
Agreed.
Erin, this has been an incredible episode. As I think about some of the takeaways that I'm walking away with today, we covered everything from how do you reverse engineer that process or the complexity that comes with having such different numbers of teams and processes that have to come together to deliver an experience and be able to simplify that, align everybody, come up with the vision and drive forward and drive that impact, to talking about how you can actually use disruption as a key for driving not just reinvention, but also innovation. And rather than being in that reaction mode, it gives you a venue for something greater that can happen. And then inclusive leadership. The fact that inclusivity starts with not just having places for people to network, but also with skill building and having other leaders and other people that believe in them and give them that space to grow, I think is truly meaningful. I hope everybody that's listening feels the same way. I'd love for you to share with our audience a little bit about what to look forward to this year at Topgolf. If you can also share with us how they can keep up with you on socials and anything else that you'd like to share with us.
Thank you. I am just super proud to be part of this team. I do want to also take the opportunity to say thank you to our teams here. I encourage everybody to get out and visit. We do have 97 venues. We're actually opening a new one in Panama City Beach and several more to come by the end of the year. This fall is a really cool new football game. So kind of bringing together golf and football in a new and innovative way. So that's what I would stay tuned for at Topgolf this fall. And then we're also really looking forward to the new openings and continuing to build our franchise business out international. So we look forward to that. So you can definitely find me on LinkedIn just at Erin Chamberlain, just L-I-N.
Erin, thank you again for your time. This has been such a fun conversation, and I look forward to all the different innovations that are about to unfold. And we're going to be looking out for not just the announcements, but experiencing it ourselves as well. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for the time and for your efforts.
I'm Harshita Acharya, partner and chief strategy officer at Fulfillment IQ. And I'm proud to be part of the team that brings you the Ecom Logistics podcast. Our mission is simple, to give you real actionable insights from our work alongside logistics leaders. Insights you can actually use to improve your supply chain. On this podcast, we share lessons and strategies, things we've learned working alongside incredible brands, retailers, 3PLs, and VCs, so you can level up your operations and drive meaningful impact. If you've been enjoying the show, we'd love your support with a 5-star rating on your favorite podcasting platform. Your feedback not only means the world to us, but it helps others discover the podcast and keeps us motivated to bring you even more value. If you're curious about how Fulfillment IQ can support your business, or if you have an idea you'd like to explore,
feel free to connect with us on LinkedIn. We're always open to a conversation and collaboration. Stay tuned to the Ecom Logistics Podcast on your favorite podcast platform for fresh and practical insights to level up your logistics game. Until next time, let's keep pushing those boundaries and making a difference.